Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And once more, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forth, Father, to give us the right understanding of this, your word, and the wisdom to use it so that we can go forth to help others. To help others that are your children to grow stronger, to stay steady, but also, Father, to help those that are walking in darkness to learn that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, that they are not able to just stand alone and make heaven their home. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Got a little news for you. Someone that has something to do with YouTube is not particularly liking our ministry. They wanted to put a mark against it. And they said the next one would be a strike. Well, you know me. I'm going to give you God's word as he speaks it, as he had it recorded. And I'm not going to walk around no one, nor no subject, nor no community, because his word is what will either get you and I into heaven. It is a roadmap on guiding us there. without his word, without being obedient unto his word and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we can't make heaven our home. It's all through the Bible. There are a lot of them out there, I know, that don't want to hear it. They don't like it. Well, they don't have to tune in. But them and Satan needs to take their hand and their finger off of our ministry, or they're probably going to have to deal with the Lord God, because this ministry belongs to him, just as I belong to him, just as Kenny belongs to him, just as Dennis belongs to him. Now, we're going to be studying in Philippians chapter 4 this evening, actually, which would finish up Philippians if we get through it. But like all the rest of it, there is a lot in it when we go to looking at it and letting the Holy Spirit speak to us as we study and give us the truth and the meaning of it. All right, now, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, it don't sound like a whole lot, does it? But when you really go to listening to the Spirit, and from the beginning, therefore, that is Paul, as he concludes, that we that are reading this, being recipients of it, are to stand fast, which means, you see, stand fast means to persevere. Now, we need to persevere in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, not allowing, as he was talking to, in his day, he was talking to the Judaizers, the perfectionists, and the Herodians, but you and I today, we have those out here that are teaching a lot of things contrary to the Word of God, and they would give anything to be able to drag us away from the truth of God's Word and the power of it down to their level to walk their way. Those that are born again, it's not going to let that happen. Those that are truly born again will persevere. They will stand steadfast. Think about it. They're not going anywhere. And neither am I. Only where the Lord God wants me and what he wants me to do and what he wants me to say. Now, in verse 2, I beseech Eodias, and beseech Gentry that they be of the same mind in the Lord. In other words, he's asking them to walk in harmony. Because there for a while, they were at odds with one another over a few matters. Paul's asking them here not to do that, but to get in and be of the same mind and walk in harmony. We need that harmony today greatly. And let me tell you something. If all of our churches would tear down these walls and come together in one mind and in harmony, this nation would not be in the shape it's in right today, because it would strictly be a nation that belongs to Almighty God. It needs to repent and get back on the pathway that it was on for many years. We're losing our status in the world among other nations. We have to put a lot of that at the church door, because the churches got away from the truth of God's word and went to preaching and tickling ears instead of giving them the truth of God's word for them to walk in and to grow in and for our nation to grow. Now, 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. He's speaking about the true yoke fellow. That's a comrade or one that he refers to, unidentified friend of Paul's. He's not identifying him. We don't know why. Because we know that he is a friend of Paul's. And you would think that he would undoubtedly recognize this personal request to help these two women become reconciled to one another, whose names are in the book of life. In other words, these women are women of God. You know the point of mentioning all believers having their names recorded in the book of life actually boils down to this. Since Christians will all someday live together forever harmoniously in heaven, so we need to be doing so here on the earth. And we're told this many different times in many of the different books of the Bible and in many different ways. And we are going, we've been going through the entire Bible, and as we do, you're going to see just how much of this is holding so true today, and how much of it is so greatly needed that we really are not having today in the world. Now, five, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. We all know that moderation means gracious and reasonableness. And the believer who is at peace with his fellow Christians and who rejoices always is indeed a gracious, reasonable person. And we know the Lord is at hand. You know, that tells you and I two things. First, his return to earth is near. But his return for the church is even closer. You may not like what I say, but if you get into your Bible, you'll find it. Now, and you know, his imminent coming as judge should encourage the Christian to be gracious unto all men. But that's not the way it's working today, is it? Now, it will among his true children, yes. But for those of the world, no. But you see, he will judge the believer for all of his actions toward all people. And he will avenge all wrong committed by others against him. Now, the Lord is at hand spiritually. The Lord's being present near should free the Christian from fear and anxiety as the command of verse 6. And we'll find in verse 6, says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we do that in prayer, in the name of Jesus. Because as I keep telling you, and will continue to tell you, everything goes through him. From us to the Lord God, and from our Heavenly Father to us, all goes through Jesus. We're told in God's Word to pray to the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, and He will hear from heaven. And if we know, in other words, we've got our faith in Him, that He hears from heaven, He will grant our wishes, or He will answer that prayer. There's so much that we just keep letting go. There is so much of God's Word that we keep. And I'm talking about now in a lot of our churches. I'm not saying all of them, but I'm saying a lot of, a good majority of them, are teaching things that are wrong and against God's Word. We'll be getting into a lot of these things as we go through the New Testament. Now, I want to stick with chapter 4. Because, you see, I don't like taking anything out of context. That's the way they change things. They take it out of context and add it to something from another place they took out of context to make it say what they want it to say instead of what it is saying. Now, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace of God that gives you that tranquility of mind, freeing us and all believers from fear and worry, and giving to us that peace which will pass all understanding, which, you know, means peace divinely bestowed in times of anxiety, and a peace that's so wonderful that it exceeds one's ability to understand it. How can I have this peace and this joy with this going on in my life? And yet you know it's there. I can attest to that a lot. Because as I go through what God has me doing, and as Satan will come against me with this, that, and the other, yet there is an inner peace that is really hard for me to understand how I can have it. But it's there. I'm at peace. And I have joy. You know, we're not to walk with anxiety. We're to walk with our understanding of the problem and God's ability to cope and to solve it. You see, Most of it we can't solve on our own. We take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, that word shall keep that he's using there, shall keep in your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, shall keep. He's letting you and I know means shall guard. Paul's using that, which was a military term, for a sentinel that's standing guard duty at Philippi. It was guarded by a Roman garrison and its citizens. You know, he's letting them know all of this. And he's letting you and I know. Because we need the same thing. And today, the day in which we are living right now, will cause you and I as much trouble as was coming against Paul and those that were with him. And I know that there are a lot of you out there that is hearing this, that are the born-again children of God, and you know exactly what I'm saying, and you know that it's all true. We have been warned even about it. It all comes from God's word. Now, 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, the Word of God is even letting you and I know the things we need to be thinking on and about and putting into our lives. And if we'll do that, we are walking in the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. And we're not walking in fear of what mankind can do to us. Because you see, nothing can happen to you or myself that God will not allow. I can tell you a few things about that too, but I'm not going to get into that yet. Now, 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul is telling them, these things you have both learned and received and heard and seen in him. He said, do. Use him as your example. Can someone use you for an example and make heaven their home? Do you know that for an assuredly? That I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And you know, That's the thing. Right there. Are you content in the state, in the state that you're in? If you're a child of God, you should be. Because you know that when it comes right down to it, that great need, He is there to fill it, to take care of it. Now, 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You see, he's listing some examples for you and I. And he's doing so by his own life. I can do all things. How? Through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, that's how we can do the things that God asks of us to do. We don't do them within ourselves. We do it through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God that gives us that strength. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. And we know that they did at times give gifts to Paul, things that he did need. And they would give to him when he was seeking it for others. 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. They was the only church to get with Paul about giving and receiving. He goes on here in 16. He says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. While he was somewhere else, they sent something he needed. 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He's giving them praise, actually, for what they did. And he's letting them know that that would be put to their account. 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Those things, whatever, I don't know what all they were. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But he goes on here at 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's letting them know they helped him and the Lord will also take care of them and their needs. Now and to God and our fathers be glory forever and ever. Amen. The last three little short verses here are his salutation, his greetings, and his benediction. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren, which are with me, greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We have come to the end now of Philippians. In our next study in the New Testament, we'll be starting the book of Galatians. But as of morning, we are going to be back in the Old Testament, and we will be in Deuteronomy 25. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word this evening, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for these times that we come together to share your word, to help each other to grow in your word, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and in the knowledge of you, Heavenly Father. And Father, use us. We're here, Father. Use us in great and mighty ways so that mankind knows and will know that you are still at work here on this earth. You are still a healer. You are still a miracle worker. And you are still giving gifts unto men to carry on the work as Jesus was doing while he was here on this earth. And he is here with us in the Holy Spirit. And Father, we know that you are too. Now, Father, it's not us that does these things, but we are the vessel that you use in order to get these things done and accomplished. Now, Father, let us, Father, be used to fulfill all your wishes around us, to help bring in those that are walking in darkness and bring them to the light, and that light being Jesus. And use us to help those, Father, that are believers, but that are still on milk and in need of meat. Because, Father, it's only through you, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we can do these things and that we can be that child of God that we need to be. Now, Father, for those that are walking in sickness, your word tells us that by his stripes By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. No mites, no maybes, we are healed. Now, Father, we know you're still healing here on this earth. You've touched me many times, Father, in many different ways. There's no doubt that you love mankind. You want to see all of man saved. We know, and your word tells us, that all won't be. That they'll actually be more lost than saved. But Father, let us work in that harvest field to bring in as many as is called and is looking for something. You've told us that the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Now use us, Father, for the purpose of bringing in the harvest. Father, this is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. God bless. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.